You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Yes, and if you've just joined us, welcome to the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. Our shapeshifter today is Arthur Evans, a television personality, entrepreneur, master of ceremonies, and voiceover artist, I must add, model as well. He has made it to the top 30 contestants of the top billing presenter search in 2015 and went on to host a multiple and a multitude of corporate events, as well as his own show, the Arthur C. Evans Show. Ha! My guest who's joining me on the line is here to tell us a little bit about himself. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself? How was your day?
My day was good. A couple of challenges, but it's always good to make progress towards them.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I hope you had a good day as well.
My day was okay. Looked forward to this conversation. I thought to myself, you know what? I like the modeling part. So I want to talk about that. But my producer is like, no, not just the modeling. Because I'm interested in the modeling.
You'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised.
How interwoven the modeling is actually linked to the destiny that God had planned for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. Yes. I want to unpack that a little bit. That would be very interesting for me. I think you were just sent by God to show me that maybe I'm also supposed to be in this modeling thing. But anyways, before I get ahead of myself, we shall unpack that. But thanks to you for joining us this evening. I really, really appreciate your time. Let's start here now. Tell us then a little bit about yourself. I know it's an odd question, but when people ask you, how do you describe yourself?
I believe that I've been put on the planet to give people momentum. I've always wondered why God gave me a multitude of talents when I was growing up from sports.
Yeah.
I have a decent brain on me, but you know, it's important to just trust a lot of times.
Yeah.
And for a long time, people said, you know, you're good at TV presenting, you're good at speaking, you're in business, you know. And one day, a gentleman in the supermarket asked me, you know, what do I actually do?
Yes.
And it prompted me to really interrogate myself. And I realized that we all pursue these accolades, achievements, these titles.
Mm.
And I was caught in that trap as well.
Okay.
And I wanted to define myself as a businessman. I wanted to define myself as a TV personality.
Okay.
And in as much as all these achievements are there, I'll actually tell you, I am what I call a momentum leader. I believe
momentum
God has put
leader.
Me on the planet. Yes.
Sure.
God has put me on the planet not to take someone through the whole journey, but a small change in direction can lead you to a whole new destination.
Yeah.
And it's those intersections in life, those interactions in life that can literally alter you 2 degrees. And if we start on a journey of 25 years, 35 years, 70 years of life, that small shift can lead you in a whole new destination. If we leave today from Southern Africa and go towards New York and we change just 3 degrees, we'll miss New York and we'll maybe end up in Canada.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's amazing. That's actually a lot to unpack there. But I want to come back to it in just a moment from now. So I love what you said. So you are a momentum leader, right? Of course, brought to the world to give momentum to people. And I've never really heard anyone describe themselves in that manner. And I heard how modest you were trying to be there, saying, I've got a decent mind. I'm like, okay, he's just being decent and all that. So where were you born?
So I was born in Zimbabwe, in the capital city of Harare.
Okay.
Yes.
I heard that Harare means the city that doesn't sleep.
It's what people say about it. The colloquial name or the nickname that has been given is the Sunshine City.
Okay. The Sunshine City. Okay, I already see a lot of people who are reacting. So they know you. Okay, I'm the one who doesn't know you. I'm like, okay, all right, that's nice. So... So what was it like? I mean, it's a capital city, right? I suppose it has more I suppose, access to a lot of things that maybe the rural areas don't have. How did you find growing up in Harare?
So my life story, my man, is actually interesting. I was born in Harare, but I basically grew up my entire life in the second largest city in Zimbabwe called Bulawayo.
Yes, oh, okay.
And Bulawayo, by its name, means place of killing, place of death, place of bloodshed.
Yes.
And a friend of mine said to me after reaching prime time on one of the DSTV channels, he said, "Do you realize what you've done?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I've got onto DSTV. You know, we've accomplished the goal." He said, "No, you did more than that.
Sure.
You broke through the ceiling." He said, "Because prophetically, the place that you're in sometimes speaks to your destiny."
And, yes.
In Zimbabwe, we've been through our struggles, and it's interesting how in Bulawayo, people feel as though there's not a lot of progress. People feel as though things are not moving at the right pace. And we don't realize that literally when we say, "Where are you from?" We actually speak potentially an ill word over our lives. But where I come from, I believe it's not a place of death. It's not... whatever it is that God has you to do, you can actually make it.
And,
you know, at the end of the day, we're not perfect people, but you've got to put God at the center. And regardless of where you are, you can make it. So I went to school here. My parents were married up until the age of about 12. They then divorced. I stayed with my mother. I went to a very good school. Only later on in life, when I left school, did I discover that I was actually given a partial bursary at the school.
Yeah,
because I was good at sports, and my mother didn't have the money.
Yeah,
and my friends didn't know this, but I was going to one of the best schools in the city. But I was sleeping on the floor. I was doing crates I was doing homework on crates.
Sure,
we didn't have a proper stove. We didn't have a fridge. We didn't have a television. I just had my uniforms, but those are the happiest days of my life. My mother worked hard. God bless her.
Look at that.
And she came right. She got onto her feet. We got a couple of appliances, and we got some simple iron beds. So we put our mattresses onto those. And I didn't get the opportunity to go to a formal university. So all my studying I've done online. And because of that, I appreciate the struggle that so many people go through. A lot of times, you know, I didn't have a father figure per se in my life. So I've had to create a lot of myself through the people around me, through the relationships around me. It's always a challenge. Whether you've got someone in your life, it all comes down to the decisions that you make.
Yeah.
And all I'm trying to do is just make the right decisions, better decisions day by day. And that's my journey through where I come from. Yeah.
Sure. That's beautiful. There's a comment that says, "I'm also one of those people, I suppose, from Bulawayo who thinks there's no progress there. So when I speak of money in Zim, I mean Harare." Okay. So some relatable story there. Now, tell me then, Mr. Evans, to say how has all of that, and I mean the challenges of not having a place or sleeping, you know, without food and all those sort of challenges that you experienced that you said people didn't even know, how have those kind of modeled, shaped who you are today?
I don't use it as a crutch, number one.
Okay.
I don't use it as an excuse. And a lot of times we want to blame people. We want to blame circumstances around us.
Sure.
And we've got to trust that where we are is the right place.
Okay.
I always ask people, "Is Bill Gates successful?" And people will say yes.
Yeah.
Because Bill Gates has private jets. He's got mansions. Yeah. He's got billions of dollars.
Yeah.
But was Mother Teresa successful? Is your local church pastor successful? They may not drive the luxury car. They may not live in Sandton or whatever luxury suburb they might be, but their purpose, their mandate will determine their success. Are you doing what you're meant to be doing? So even if you're in Bulawayo, it may not have as much money as Harare, but are you doing what you're meant to be doing in Bulawayo? Are you doing what you're meant to be doing in London, Pietermaritzburg, Johannesburg? What is it that God has put you on this planet for?
Yeah,
because At the end of the day, my mother taught me one thing. She said, I would rather sleep peacefully knowing that I've not offended anyone, knowing that I've done an illicit debt with someone, but that I've done my best and I've tried to do right people. So success, we leave all the stuff behind at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, but the question is, what are you meant to be doing?
Sure. And
are you happy doing what you're meant to be doing?
Yeah.
It may not be roses, you know. You and I might be into media, but we may not be in Hollywood. But the conversation we're having now could literally be shifting the direction of someone.
Yeah.
Could be inspiring someone, provoking a thought that will only bear fruit two generations down the line.
That's very true. You know what I mean? That's very true.
So you just have to trust the process.
Sure. And tell me then, when did you have that epiphany? Because it sounds very deep and from experience, but when and where, what happened, would you say you had that epiphany that said, well, I am here and I need to do the best of what I can in this very situation and trust the process?
I believe epiphanies are progressive.
Okay.
In as much as you feel it in a moment, it's like driving down a road and you think you're going in the right direction, and then you get to a T-junction and you have a choice and you realize that, oh, this road actually comes to an end.
Yeah.
I actually need to either go right or I need to go left. And I realize that I've been going straight, but I actually wanted to go left all along. This is where I need to be going. And so epiphanies, I think, are progressive.
Okay.
And progression comes with a couple of things.
Yeah.
Progression, good progression comes, number one, with ambition.
Yeah.
If you're not an ambitious person, your epiphanies will come later on in life sometimes.
Is it because you will miss them?
Yeah, because ambition comes with faith.
Yeah.
Because if you're ambitious, it means you believe that you can achieve it.
Yes.
And that's now faith.
Yeah.
So as you're now moving forward, you get to a point where you realize, boom, everything that I've been doing has led up to this. You're talking about modeling. I never wanted to be a model. Sorry,
okay.
Mr. Producer or Madam Producer.
Yeah.
But we're going there.
We're going there, exactly.
Because it's so integral. I never, ever wanted to be a model.
Sure.
On a Tuesday evening, watching my mother cook, I wasn't allowed to cook because I burned food as a young boy.
Okay, sure. That's understandable.
So I sat in the kitchen and I was reading the paper, and I always read the paper back to front
because
I love sports. So I started on the sports page and I'd work my way through until I got to the classifieds.
Mm.
When I got to the classifieds, I saw this advert.
Mm.
And at the time, I didn't realize I didn't have a good relationship with God at the time. So I didn't know that it was God speaking to me.
Yeah.
But I saw this advert for modeling auditions.
Yeah.
And all I knew about modeling was that this industry has got all sorts of funny people. You know, it's the LGBTQ community
likes
that, you know, that thing as a tool. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get involved in that. But I was drawn to the advert.
Sure.
I turned the page and I said, and I felt that being drawn back, go back to that advert. I looked at it. I didn't read it. I turned the page. I was drawn back. I opened it again.
Yeah.
I read it, and auditions were the very next day.
Ooh.
And I had just started a job. So I said to my mother, Ma, what would you say if I became a model? My mother said to me, son, it's okay, but please don't go down that road of becoming a woman or becoming feminine.
Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, fine. I thought about it. I woke up in the morning. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry to say this. I ran away from work.
Sure. Yeah.
And I asked for time off.
Yeah.
I asked for an hour. It ended up taking 3 hours. I went to an audition. I had never modeled before in my life. It was Zimbabwe's biggest modeling competition.
Yeah.
With a contract potentially overseas.
Mm.
I got there, never modeled, no training. They said, we want you.
Mm-hmm.
We want you in this competition. Go for it.
Sure.
Got into the quarterfinals, semifinals. I almost won the whole competition.
Yeah.
That then opened. I modeled in about two other competitions. That then opened the door, because I tried to be well mannered, respectful, and I spoke relatively well.
Yeah.
I was then recommended for a television audition.
Mm. Mm.
I had never been on TV. I had just played TV with my sister.
Yeah.
I went for the television audition. They liked me. They put me on television. It was for anchoring the news.
Yeah.
We did a few inserts. Then I did some special highlights reels.
Yeah.
And that continued for 3 or 4 years. And as they say, the journey in media, the rest is history.
History. That's very true.
Yeah.
And so did you go back to the job and say, hey, sorry, I'm not coming back anymore?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. The requirements of this modeling competition required traveling.
Yes,
ETC,
yes.
And there was such a strong conviction that I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
But I just knew in my heart of hearts that I was doing the right thing. As it goes now, I'm still on television.
Yes.
I've refined the art of speaking.
Yeah.
And I would like to believe that the gift that God has given me has been refined over the years. But it started off with something that I never, ever thought of doing. I never saw the... It was purely a conviction in a moment, short window period. But I didn't step into it with absolute fear.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was scared.
Yeah.
But I went in there and I said, you know what? If I die, I die.
Yes.
If I fail, I fail. But I'm going to give it my best shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Yeah.
And here we are today talking about me being a businessman and
look
someone
at that.
In media.
Look at that. Yeah? So I suppose this was in your early adult life or thereabouts, right? I want to now go back
19.
To, yes, you're 19. Okay. Let's go back to your childhood. Did you think you'd be in media or what did you want to be?
I did not know I was going to be in media. I distinctly remember sitting at the back of the car one day when my mother picked me up from school. And I saw a very bright light outside the car window.
Okay.
And I asked my mother, did you see that light? She said, yes, it's called the sun.
Yes.
My boy.
Yeah.
I said, no, not the sun. I said, on this side of the car.
Okay.
She said, okay, that's just the luminance of the sun. I said, no, there was a brilliant bright light. Just outside the car. And she said, I never saw it.
Yep.
I said, but I saw it. And,
yes.
And you know what, Ma? I feel like I'm special. I feel like I'm meant to do something special.
Look at that.
And she said to me, 100%, you're meant to do something special.
I
was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. I went through primary school. I wanted to be a vet.
Yeah.
When I got to high school, I wanted to be an architect.
Okay.
And things crumbled. I hit major disappointment. I was the same school that I was talking about. I faced immense racism when I was there because it was still predominantly white run school. And I was only the second non-white head boy. Yes, so I faced an immense barrage of racism that I haven't spoken about on many platforms. But it was such a disappointment for me. I was good at athletics. I was the Zimbabwe vice captain for athletics at under 20 level.
Yeah.
And I was poised for a scholarship. There was
a
guy that came and said to me, you know, you're set up for a scholarship. He didn't pull through. And the same ambition that I exhibit now, I lost it in that moment. He let me down and I thought, you know what? Everything is just so hard. And I dropped the ball. I dropped the ambition. I dropped the window. I'm just grateful that, you know, I look back and I say, maybe it was in God's perfect wisdom that he let me fall, that there was nobody there to pick me up. I don't know. But at that point in time, I had ambitions to pursue the architecture. I had ambitions to become even a professional sports person while pursuing a degree.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, I'm also in construction.
Yeah.
And so I don't design buildings per se, but the transformative process from design to completion.
Sure.
God, in his wisdom, I cannot even begin to tell you how wise God is, but I'm still seeing and interacting with the things that I love, with the thing that I had wanted to do. Yeah,
sure. And you are 19 now. You've decided, you know what, I'm going with this thing and I'm not turning back. How does it progress then from there?
It sounds weird, but I started playing a lot of social soccer.
Social soccer.
Yes, so I spent time playing a lot of social soccer just to keep my mind off things. But what that did for me was it exposed me to, and one of the reasons why I liked it, there were older people around me, older men. And I really liked the wisdom and the advice. Fortunately, I found a group of really decent guys to play with. And that gap of mentorship and fatherly figures in my life, began to be full, because in where I was living in Bulawayo, most of my family doesn't stay here. They were out in Harare overseas. So I started playing social soccer, and then I decided to study. I started IMM. I never completed that. I read the whole syllabus even onto the fourth year, but I didn't finish that. Then I studied ACCA. I studied training management with a local institution. So I went on a mission to improve myself as best as I thought I could with the resources that I had, and always with just that underlying belief that, you know what, something's gonna happen. I just call me crazy, but I just believe that if your heart is in the right place, if your heart is in the right place, God will come through for you guys.
Definitely.
Sometimes because we're trying to bribe God, we put forward intentions, but our plans, but our hearts are not in the right place. So I always try and keep my heart in the right place, and I think that's been one of the keys to my success from 19 years old even up to now. And so at the age of 23, my father then approached me. Lots went on. I had turmoil with my mother. I became a bit rebellious. Then I committed my life to Jesus Christ, and
Yes, amen.
things started changing. And then boom, boom, boom. About a year after doing that, my father, who I hadn't spoken to in over a decade, rocked up in my life. And there I was thinking, hey, I'm such a nice Christian, newly born again Christian, and I'm doing everything right by God. I was faced with incredible unforgiveness. But again, the same thing with like the modeling. I just felt the need to say yes, and I said yes, I'll join the business. But at the back of my heart, my mind and my heart, my intentions were not pure, eh? I thought, I'll join the business. I'm going to join the business, and I'm going to leave. After a year, I'm gone. I'm
Is
going to the
this
UK.
the dad's business?
Yes, 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 yes,
Okay,
yes.
okay.
And as it so happened, every door shut.
Sure.
Every door shut.
The UK one as well.
Everything shut.
Sure.
And I had an argument with God. I said, but dear God, what are you doing here? I don't like this man. I don't like this man. Why are you keeping me here? Zimbabwe went through economic turmoil. But interestingly enough, in the turmoil, an inexperienced young man of 23, 24 stepped out of his comfort zone and said, I'm going to help. And this is where I started. When I look back, I realized that being a momentum leader is all about helping people. We're all here to help one another. And help was needed. I made certain decisions. I took a couple of risks. I went into gold mining. Yes. And then God brought someone that I'd never known before. I took a risk on him. Got a contract with an international NGO. Subsequently, I managed to keep the company afloat through the economic downturn. During that time, again, not by my strength, the same person that I told God, I hate this man. I was just hit with an immense love for him,
Look
because
at that. Sure.
I was given, I'll use your word, I was given an epiphany. I was given a type of revelation about him that, you know what? He has his own stories. Many people have issues with their parents and their families. They've got their own burdens. You don't know the full story. They have had their own struggles in life. And at that moment, I realized that despite whatever challenges he went through, he saw it fit to reach out to me. And I said, you know what? Who am I to judge him?
Definitely. Definitely.
And I was just filled with forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, I love my old man. He's a great character.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just trusting God. So from 19 to now, trying to put the heart in the right place, being ambitious, trying to pursue not achievements or things, but at least purpose.
Yeah. Because
purpose is more important than
achievements.
I hope I've answered your question.
No, you have. You have, in fact, very brilliantly there. Now, let's talk about 2015, the top billing presenter search. Oh, what was that all about?
So again, my goodness me. This is before the DSTV show.
Yeah.
I've done some TV work.
Yeah.
I'm a prominent MC in the city and emerging in the country.
Yeah.
And I come across this top billing search. Mm. One or two of friends of mine said, you should go for this.
Yeah.
So I looked at it. It was in South Africa.
Yeah.
And for lack of a better term, I just didn't want. I didn't care.
Okay.
I read the terms and conditions. My wife then said to me, "You should enter this." I said, "Yeah, I don't think I should."
Ooh, okay.
You know, I don't. You know, I'm recently married. I don't want to be away from you. I
mean, yeah. Yeah.
She said to me, "I think you need to go for this."
Hmm.
I read the terms and conditions, and I distinctly remember. I think it was clause 7B.
Hmm.
It said that you have to be a citizen of South Africa,
hmm.
or you have to be. You have to have a valid work permit for this to prove my wife wrong, because you know us men and husbands, we love to prove our wives wrong in a subtle way.
Yeah.
So I called the production company.
Yeah.
And I used my best English and I said, "Good afternoon. My name is Arthur C. Evans. I'm interested in taking part in the top billing edition."
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Zimbabwean, and I was very clear.
Yeah.
I have no work permit. I'm not a South African citizen.
Yeah.
But I'm interested. Is it possible for me to take part?
Mm-hmm.
Please be honest with me. It's okay if you say no.
Yeah.
The lady on the other side of the phone, and it's amazing how God works.
Yeah.
The lady on the other side of the phone said, "I love the way you've just spoken, and I love your voice."
Mm.
She said to me, "Please come for the audition.
Mm.
Let's see if you have what it takes. And if you do, the work permit and all that, we'll figure it out."
Sure.
I said to her, "But ma'am, are you sure?" She said, "Yes, absolutely." I said, "But I don't think you have the authority to say that." She said, "I am one of the executive producers.
Look
I
at
do
that.
Have authority."
Look at that.
I said, "Oh, okay." I threw the rule book back at her and I said, "But clause 7B said that ABCD. I don't qualify."
Yeah.
And she said, "I understand that.
Yeah.
But let's fall forward. Let's see what happens."
Sure.
"And at the point, if you make it, we'll apply for that work permit for you."
Yes, yes.
Obviously, my wife came home after work and she said, "And
what did they say? What are you waiting for?" Mm.
Unfortunately, I did not have the answer that I wanted. "I told you so." I had to tell her. They said yes. They said I can go.
Yeah.
So she said, "Well, you better go."
Yeah.
"You better go."
Sure.
"Go and try."
Sure.
So I jumped on a plane.
Mm.
I remember as we were coming into Johannesburg, I looked out of the window and I said, "This is just an absolute failure." I said, "But you know what?
Yeah.
God, I'll try my best.
Yeah.
I won't be disappointed if I don't make it."
Yeah.
I arrived, the lodge where I was staying was run by an Afrikaans couple.
Yeah.
And they were bed mites.
Yeah.
It was like bed bugs in the bed.
Serious?
I woke up, I woke up the day of the audition and I had bite marks all over my body. Yeah, but again, I'll give God the credit.
Sure.
They did not bite me from my neck up.
Oh, they were strategic. They were strategic.
Imagine. So I could put a shirt on and I looked fine.
Yeah.
So I went for auditions.
Okay,
I went for auditions. And it was at Wanderers Cricket Stadium. I told my friend Dean Lugube that, you know, I'm in town. You know, I'm staying at this place. If I get time, maybe we'll pass through. Dean had traveled. He said, look, if you're still around at this time, you can come through and stay. And in my head, I thought, I'll be gone by then. You know, I'm not going to make it. It so happened, I went for the audition. I nailed it. Some of South Africa's best presenters were in the room at the time from Morning Espresso, and they said, you are amazing. You one of the best interviews we've seen over the 3 days of auditions. Absolutely incredible. So they put me through. I went on to the next round. All the while, I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at everybody from Gauteng, you know, everybody's got looks like they've got money. I'm just this boy from Lyle. I'm like, wow, what am I doing here? But when I left, I left with a lesson. I realized that it was not about winning, but I think, and I could be wrong, but I strongly believe God was literally saying to me, even with your little faith, that small mustard seed faith that's planted in a sea of doubt, let me show you what I can do when you just move.
Hey, when you just move,
And
eh?
when you just move with me. And so from there, that's what then made me think about doing something big on TV. And that's how the DSTV, the talk show, then came about. And from that talk show, national prominence came about. I went from being that Vulayo MC.
Hello.
Then people all of a sudden realized, wow, there is this guy.
Yeah, seems like a lot of doors then were then opened from there, and everyone started noticing. Was there at any stage during all those, I suppose, opportunities that were now opening for you, was there a stage where you're like, this is becoming a bit too much? Remember your mom said, don't go down that rabbit hole.
I'll be very frank with you. I'll be very frank with you. There are so many temptations out there. I was just a guy going about my business. All of a sudden, I didn't see myself as being that attractive. And all of a sudden, I was getting approached by women. All of a sudden, I was getting opportunities, you know, to do work around the country. And I realized that I didn't have time. And I realized that at home, I wasn't spending time at home. And progressively, the success came with so much pressure on my time and on my peace of mind. I remember the one day, someone messaged very early in the morning. They got my number from somewhere. You know, I've got message previews on my phone. And the next thing, you know, my missus is saying to me, who the heck is this person messaging you at 6:30 in the morning, asking you where you're going to be? And I realized that, you know what? Not everybody has your best interest at heart. Great success also comes with great traps. I like what T.D. Jakes, one of my favorite quotations from T.D. Jakes, he says, with new levels come new devils. My Decembers, I was not at home. I was doing events. And for 4 years straight, I realized I'm not doing events until someone said to me one day, what do you do in December? You're always working. Man, Arthur, I respect your grind. You're always pushing. I said, hey, thanks, man. You know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, that humility, you know, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And they said to me, they asked me, how's your family doing? I said, no, they're fine. They're fine, you know. You know, got to work hard for them, got to work hard for them. You know, all the right answers, right? All the right answers. And then they said, when last did you take a holiday? I said, no holidays. No. I'm not, you know, I can't do holidays. And besides, you know, I'm always traveling, so I do get time by myself, you know, whether it's in Big Falls or Harare, whatever, you know, when I'm traveling out of the country, at least I get some time to myself. And then they said to me, okay, you might rest, but when was the last time you took your daughter or your wife on a holiday? That hit me so hard. I realized that, whoa, I need to do something. So I evaluated things and I said, I want to make the money. I need to make the money. But I then made a commitment. I said, okay, God, let's have a chat. Am I doing the right thing? And the answer I got was that it's number one, it's not about the money. And number two, you have a greater message to give. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to Adventist Radio. I'm so grateful to this show to have an opportunity to not only share my life, but hopefully to speak a message that, you know, it's the decisions that we make that can move us forward. And I made a decision that if my speaking ability is meant to be for not a particularly greater platform, but for a different type of platform, I then need to take on the ideology of Jesus Christ, who came and for 30 years developed himself. For 3.5 years.
Yes, yes. I hear
groomed 12 people.
Yeah.
12 people. And at the end of it all, after building such a great legacy, performing miracles, doing great things, what does it sound like? Arthur, you read the profile. You know, my manager will tell you, Pan-African leader, momentum leader, financial director of Techno Expert Construction, prominent businessman, one of the top 40, 40 business people under 40 in Zimbabwe. Fantastic accolades. After all that, Jesus, what did he do? He said, I will leave you with the helper because my purpose on this earth is done. I must go on to the next level. And so we get happy in life where we're just sitting and we're saying, okay, great, I'm doing great. I'm grinding. I'm working every December. I'm making the money. But I realized that if the space I was occupying is not the space I was meant to permanently be in. And so I made some specific steps. Before I started charging more, which is one of the things I did. I then started recrafting my profile from just an MC to being a professional speaker about certain things. And those things were the things that I believe that God wants me to speak about. And even though I didn't have the platform for them, I said, God, this is the 3-degree change in direction that you want me to take. Let me start moving. Let me move away from the space. What did Jesus do? Jesus trained others for 3.5 years. So the minute I did that, I said, you know what? Let me seed, let me put my pride aside. Let me deal with whatever pride I have. Let me not steal the show all the time. So I started taking other MCs and I said, walk with me.
I will beautiful.
Give you the opportunity to speak.
That's beautiful.
Will teach you the things that I know. I will teach you the standards that I live by that have made me a success so that you can be better than me. So that you can learn from me. And whatever space I leave, you can occupy that space. And if you choose to follow in the same direction, when you get to where I am, I'll help you there as well. So it was scary. I started training people. Then I increased my pricing. And I remember for a year and a half, it was very dry in terms of the type of events that I was doing. I wasn't getting booked at all.
Was it because of the high fee?
Yes.
It was.
It was. It was.
Okay, that's really interesting.
So I think it was your worth.
It
is about more than the worth, mate. It was about that newspaper advert for modeling. It was about my father coming out of the blue and saying, come and join the company. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of God said, you need to do this. And so God said to me, you've got to be speaking. You've got to get to the point where you start telling a story about your life, about certain skills to help other people. Not just entertain them on a stage at a wedding, at a corporate function. You've got to get to the point where you are now speaking and edifying people. And so I made that step. Not to say that people don't. I mean, I still get paid, bro. I'm just putting it out there. You know?
I love that.
But 100%, like, there's certain spaces that I used to operate in. I hardly operate in those spaces, and I'm proud to say that there's some of the guys that I've helped groom and mentor. They're
Definitely,
occupying that space. They're
definitely.
doing so well,
Sure.
you know. And they'll say, "It's because you helped me, Arthur." And I'll say, "No,
Yes.
it's because of your ambition, your faith, and your decisions."
Sure. Okay, here's what I want to do. We've run completely out of time. Can I put a comma
Okay.
here? We are not done, all right? My producer is here. She's also listening, so I'm saying we are not done. So I'm putting a comma here. I want us to get into things like what motivates you, what keeps you going, and all those sort of stuff. I want to get into aspects around money and how you, deal with money and how you characterize your relationship with money. It is a business show after all. So the money bits that you are charging very high, we want to get there as well. I want to talk about those things as well. But I want to put a comma here and say, let's have a round two. Is that fine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah,
Absolutely.
fantastic. So I'm just going to end it here, but say thank you so much, my brother, for joining us this evening. If people want to follow you, let's end with that one. I've done that already. So if people want to follow you, where do they find you?
Brother, thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. Thank you
Thank you,
for
man.
the chance
Thank you.
to speak.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if you get lost, go to a place called Google and
Okay.
search for Arthur C. Evans, Zimbabwe,
Okay.
and it'll show you everything. But on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, everything is Arthur C. Evans.
Okay.
And on Instagram, it's Arthur C. Evans ZW.
Yeah.
X, it's Arthur Evans ZW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if you were to then 10 seconds, you're a radio person, you know, every second on radio counts, right? So
Yes.
if you were to give advice to young people following you right now, what would be your words of encouragement to them?
Allow God to point you in the direction of the sincerity of your heart. Everything good, the kingdom of God must produce three things: righteousness, peace, joy. And if the things that you are doing are not producing those things in you, around you, and to the people around you, if the money you're making is not giving you peace, it's not right. If it's not bringing joy, it's not right. If it's not bringing righteousness, it's not right. So pursue that, and whatever you do, my friends call me Arthur C. Evans, or Ace for short, and an ace is an expert or guru. Whatever you do, don't just do it. Ace it for the glory of God.
Amen. Thank you so much, my brother, and God bless.
God bless you too, man.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.